When we look at the old mythologies, the old religions, the laws by which the society is governed are regarded in general as being as inevitable, as apodictically given so that you can't get away from them, as the laws of nature itself. The laws of the Hebrew tradition, for example, are supposed to have been delivered by the same divine being who created the world. So they have the same source. And no one can ask himself, does this make sense? Is this the way people should behave? Is this a reasonable mode of conduct? One is to obey, obey, obey as given. Similarly, in the Orient, the laws of the society are regarded as part and parcel of the laws of the universe. Here, then, is the first point. There are four levels on which mythology is going to function. Now, the second and third, that is to say, the image of the cosmos and the order of society vary greatly from place to place and from time to time. This brings about a picture of great difference as one reviews the whole scene. On the other hand, this monstrous mystery that the consciousness has to be reconciled to has remained the same forever. And also the structure, the main nervous structure and organic structure of the human physique has been the same, at least since the Argnacian caves of 30,000 BC. So these constitute constants, whereas there is within the historical field greater variation in the modes to which these constants are rendered. The old German medical man, who was one of the first and greatest in the survey of the whole field, Adolf Bastian, he called the universals, the constants that appear throughout mythology, the elementary ideas. And we can call them the elementary ideas, or the basic universals. And the different culture modes through which these ideas are inflected in terms of the needs and patterns of the different social orders, he called the ethnic ideas or the folk ideas. Now let me first say a word or two about certain basic divisions of the folk ideas. There are four great domains in the old world, the world from which our own traditions come, through which we see the universals manifesting themselves. If you divide the European-Asian hemisphere at Iran, at Persia, the world will fall into two great departments. Eastward of Iran, eastward of Persia, there are two main creative culture zones. One is India, and the other is the Far East. If you look at a map, you will see that both of these are cut off from the rest of the world. India is surrounded on two sides by the sea, and the coasts are not endowed with great harbors and were very, very dangerous for small boats. And northward are the Himalaya Mountains. So that new influences have come into India and been assimilated very easily. There's been no massive impact on India until very modern times, with the modern Western industrial world walloping in. Likewise, China was cut off by the great deserts to the west. So these two zones, India and China, have been extremely conservative in their culture character, and they have maintained to the very present in their traditional forms the basic style of religion of the old Bronze Age. Both of them were first settled in the style of the high civilizations in the period of the Bronze Age. India, the first datings for earliest India are now about 2500 BC, and the earliest datings for China about 1500 BC. China is the youngest, not, as is often claimed, the oldest of the old civilizations. So the main mode of mythological thought that was characteristic of the Bronze Age, before the coming of the Age of Iron, is what we find in China and Japan, China and India. Westward of Iran now, we again have two great creative culture zones. The first is the Levant, or the Near East. This is the zone where high civilization first originates. It is there that the arts of agriculture and animal husbandry were first developed about the 9th millennium B.C. This is what made possible the establishment of settled communities and the growth of rather large communities. Where these large communities developed first was in Mesopotamia, and then Egypt, and then Crete. Mesopotamia, the earliest cities appear about 3500 B.C. That's 1,000 years earlier than in India. And it is at that time, in that place, that the arts of mathematical reckoning, of writing, of calculating the movements of the planets mathematically and accurately first came into being. It was at that time that professional priests, whose whole lifetime was devoted to observing the heavens, recognized the movement of the planets through the constellations. They are the ones who first recognized the mathematical regularity of this process and conceived the notion of a cosmic order, a mathematically impersonal, inevitably moving cosmic order, to which the agricultural world had to submit. They watched the stars for the moments for planting and for reaping, and they also conceived the idea that that heavenly order should be repeated on earth, and the society itself became an imitation of the heavenly order. We still celebrate our religious festivals according to the astronomical calendar. The king, the queen, the members of the court assumed then the garments of the heavenly spheres. The king's, if the moon were the principal divinity, the king wore the horns of the moon. If the sun, he wore the golden radiant crown of the sun, and so forth and so on. This notion of as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth, is the basis for the forms, the culture forms, of the earliest civilizations of man. And these were carried to Egypt, to Crete, to China, and to India.